Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here today with week? 86 of the Ham Radio Podcast, I think.
My name is Noah. I just got off work, so I'm able to be here today. It's really, really fun.
Lone's at work right now. And we don't have a guest. Sure. And also, you guys notice, if you're watching on YouTube, that we don't have face cams because OBS is being really weird for us this week. Anytime I tried to add our overlay, which is where all our faces fit into, the picture wouldn't show up. So we're kind of limited on time.
Marked?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we'll not deal with it right now. We'll deal with it later.
Yeah, we tried dealing with it for a little bit, but we figured we'd just get going on the recording. Yeah. As always, in the links down below are iTunes and Google Play. Weekly apology for forgetting to put it on iTunes again.
God damn it.
I said it last week. I was like, yeah, guys, it's up there right now. Because I was like, I'll do this right after the podcast. And then I got fucking distracted and I totally forgot. And then someone tweeted at me and was like, Matt, the podcast isn't on mobile devices. I'm like, oh, shit.
Jesus.
Anyway, this week we're going to be talking a lot about E3. We know it's 6 months away right now.
Yeah.
But
so, just around the corner.
Yeah, just around the corner. But the reason we wanted to talk about it today was because Pete Hines had recently just confirmed that there will be a Bethesda E3 2017 conference. And I know that shouldn't come as much of a surprise, but you don't really know it, Bethesda, because they have said in the past that, hey, guys, we don't know if we're always going to do this every year. If we have stuff to show, we'll do it. But if we don't, then we won't do it. So it's not always a guarantee that Bethesda is going to show up every E3. So when they do announce it and confirm it, it's sort of a big deal, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. A huge deal.
A huge
deal.
Yep. Huge. And so let's make some predictions. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to shoot the shit for a little bit on
Fallout 5.
Yeah. Fallout 5. That'd be okay.
No, I think when does Prey come out? Does it have a release date?
All that we know is 2017. Now,
so
I'm trying to narrow down what we know that's coming from Bethesda. I think there's three games. I can't think of one, but I know one was they teased it this E3 that we were at, which is Wolfenstein the New Colossus. That was there to some degree. They put it like in a little part of a trailer somewhere.
Yeah.
And then they also had Prey, like you mentioned. So that's a 2017 game. So they got two big dogs there, but obviously I don't think that's enough for a E3 show.
I don't know. I kind of have to disagree a little bit. I think you know, some solid Prey gameplay, because we had some that just came out. I think they're definitely, Prey is going to be their main focus, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think Prey is going to be their main focus. Wolfenstein will be a 2018 game, and that's the cycle they're going to go on. It's just announce a big one that'll be the E3 2018 focus. So that's a good point there. I never thought of that.
But I mean, because I mean, if you remember back to their booth, at least, you know, you had Fallout or, Elder Scrolls Online, not online, but what was the card game? I always forget the name of it.
Legends
was a big focus in their thing. And then Prey was a big one as well. And then a little bit of Fallout. I think Prey is going to be kind of the overall this year in their booth and stuff like that.
At least at this point. I mean, we look at it this way. When we look back at the previous E3, we had Fallout VR, Doom VR, Elder Scrolls Legends, Dishonored 2 was the big focus. Special Edition. I think a Prey trailer.
Yeah.
What else was there? That's all that's coming to mind right now. So it really, in retrospect, I mean, I thought Bethesda's conference was solid. I really enjoyed it.
This year it was, yeah.
Yeah, but obviously it's going to be hard to beat that 2015 one with Fallout 4.
I don't think you're going to beat that one until a new Elder Scrolls or a new Fallout comes out, honestly.
Sad truth.
Now, honestly, I think... I'm sure both of them are in development. I know we know Elder Scrolls is in terms of Fallout 5. I think we know that too for sure.
Fallout 5 is almost a guarantee just because of how much money Fallout 4 made.
You know, now don't get excited at least for Fallout 5 yet. I think that's got another like 3 years or 4 years down the line.
It's a while away.
You know, I'm still pumped for Red Dead. I know that's not even Bethesda, but I just thought that just popped into my head.
I wonder if that's even going to make 2017.
Probably. Well, no, didn't it say fall?
Yeah, just I feel like Rockstar, them being how they are, they'll delay it. And
it's either going to be fall 2017 or very early, like early spring 2018.
Yeah, I always, when I see that, I feel like spring 2018.
Yeah.
I'd love it for it to be in the fall.
Yeah. But
as for stuff we want to see in...
Just in E3 overall or Bethesda?
I mean, we could do both, but I mean, for E3, we'll talk about Bethesda for a second. Okay. I know the question on a lot of our listeners' tongues is, more than likely, will Bethesda Game Studios be there? And I think it's safe to assume, at the very least, that we'll see them in some form.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be big form like Fallout 4, or if it'll be little like this year, where they just did, oh yeah, we got a little thing here, Fallout Shelter on the PC, Skyrim Special Edition. Here's the last bit of Fallout 4 DLC to make it into a nice little presentation.
Yeah.
I think Bethesda's learned their lesson with staying quiet for too long with Fallout 4. Because now you see Todd saying, like, yeah, we're doing Elder Scrolls 6 at some point. Like, that's a huge thing to do, is to confirm it that early.
Well, okay, okay, I see what you're saying, and I agree. I think there's a difference between staying quiet for a while and, like, showing a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you remember when GTA 5 came out, they showed a trailer for that, and then years went by, and then it finally came out. I think if they had said Grand Theft Auto 5 is in the works, but showed no trailers, no one would get all hyped up and expect it, which is kind of what they've done with Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
You know, if they showed a trailer, I think they did Fallout 4 right. If you want my honest opinion, I think they did it right.
Yeah.
Some people are going to definitely disagree with me on that, but you know, in terms of the release and the talking about it, when to talk about it, stuff like that, I think it was well done.
Yeah, if you look at the big picture for Fallout 4, it was just, for us, it was like a day by day thing, and when things dried up, you were like, when are they going to talk about it? And so there was definitely that, but in the terms of expecting to see them, I'd say in some form. What could we expect from Bethesda Game Studios? I've made the bold prediction. I'm like, yo, I feel like they're going to come out with I don't know if it'll be a 2017 game, but I feel like it'll be a 2018 game, because...
You're talking about new IP? Like,
yeah, that's the thing, is I feel like if it's a new IP, you got to market that a little bit more. It's not a mainstream name like a Fallout or an Elder Scrolls, which you can release within 5 months. I mean, maybe if the game looks good enough, I'm not an expert on marketing, but I'm thinking maybe if the game looks good enough, that you don't need that bigger period. But I feel like if Bethesda Game Studios was to do something new, especially with the distrust after Fallout 4, understandably so, that maybe they should take some more time to say, like, let's show them this and now this, and gradually roll out mechanics into the game and let people learn exactly what it's all about.
Right.
So my prediction is that, in 2017, maybe they'll come out and announce a new game, and it'll release in 2018 at some point.
I have to agree. I've often wondered, too, if Bethesda's going to mess with, like, Bethesda Game Studios. We had talked about this the other week, about maybe a Fallout Online. Elder Scrolls Online they already have, but, like, a Fallout Online. You know, if they're going to mess with something like that. I kind of doubt it this soon. I think if they were going to do something with it, they would have already talked about it a little bit. But maybe... Yeah. You know, I mean, E3 is the place to do it if you're going to talk about it. So,
I know it sounds a little far-fetched, right, to start flinging out there. Like, yo, dude, Bethesda Game Studios. But I look at it this way. Just recently was PSX, which we'll briefly talk about. But during that conference, Naughty Dog just released 7 months ago Uncharted 4. And they announced at this conference a standalone, they don't call it DLC, but it's a standalone Uncharted game, which is longer than... one of the previous entries, I think the Left Behind DLC for The Last of Us, but it's shorter than Uncharted 4. So it's somewhere in between, where it's not like this full-fledged production game. But they announced that, and then they announced The Last of Us 2. which is huge. That's a
that is huge.
Yeah, that's a big AAA game. That's a full development game.
Well, so and it's got a huge shoes to fill too. With Last of Us 1 being absolutely as fantastic as it was.
Before we get into that, though, point being is that, you know, this is a company that just released the game 7 months ago, and they're already coming out like saying new Uncharted, new The Last of Us.
Yeah,
those are two huge things all at once. Where I don't think it's too far fetched to say that Bethesda Game Studios comes out almost 2 years later after the announcement of Fallout 4.
Right.
And says, hey, we got something else in the works now, and talks about it.
Now, I got to be honest with you, Matt. I haven't played a game by Naughty Dog in a long time. It's been many. So I'm letting you talk here. I'm letting you go on here.
Yeah, I mean, see, well, that's the issue is that I am one of the few people who is not crazy about Uncharted. It's just not my cup of tea. I was thinking about it earlier. I was taking a shower and like thinking, like, when we talk about Uncharted, I'm going to have to somehow word why I don't love it, and I think it's because so many people love it, and I'm just like, this is good.
I feel like Uncharted is one of those games that's I think it's maybe a little linear than you want it to be. Now, it is, I know it has its like open,
four was more open.
It's not super linear, but like, I think it's, you know, if you're not used to that, or maybe not open to that as much, I definitely think it can, because Matt, I've known you for a long time, and I know the like kind of games you like, and you do like open world games. You like other games too, but you like, it seems like open world games have always struck a chord with you.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think maybe, you know, I'm not sure what I'm getting at here, and people are already writing their hate comments for me.
Next
week I'm going to choose some of them.
Our viewers are really nice.
They fucking hate me, Matt. No, I'm just kidding.
You encourage it by saying that.
I know.
Fuck with you.
I love it.
What the fuck was I talking about? I was getting on a roll. Oh, yeah, Uncharted. Yeah, I like the series. I really do. I've played 1 and 2. I have not played 3. I have not played 4. I did review 4 on my channel because one of my best friends, Connor, is a diehard Uncharted fan, and he played it and loved it. So I thought that would be the best person to have review the game because he knows what he's talking about. For me, I just, like, the perfect term you used is it just doesn't strike a chord with me. Like, I just, I don't mind the action-adventure games. Like, Gears of War 4 is a recent example. That was one of my favorite games of this year. And that was very much a more linear experience. So I don't have an issue with that type of stuff. It's just that, like I said, I think it boils down to Uncharted is just that series that people put on a pedestal. And I get why. But for me, I just, it's not,
it's okay. It's not the most amazing thing in the world.
It's like, not a huge deal to me.
And I see what you're saying.
A lot of people compare it like, it's like Indiana Jones and stuff. It's like, well, I'm not a huge fan of Indiana Jones.
It reminds me more of like Lara Croft, honestly. Like Tomb Raider and stuff like that. I know Tomb Raider has its own thing, but it's always reminded me of Tomb Raider.
There's definitely,
because essentially that's what it is. You know, I mean,
yeah. And anyone who wants to deny Noah, I'm pretty sure the boss at Xbox was like, yeah, we bought out Tomb Raider because we want our own Uncharted. So there's definitely parallels you can draw between the two.
And that's not a bad thing. You know, I think both games do well. I mean, both games have gotten great reviews. You know, I know plenty of people that like them.
Maybe it's something with that type of exploration thing, because even the
Rise
of the Tomb Raider, I played and beat the first Tomb Raider. That one left a bad taste in my mouth, to be honest with you. I remember texting you, I was so confused. I was like, how did this game get a 9? I was so baffled because that ending was just so stupid.
But the gameplay itself was good.
Yeah, but even then, like, I was like, this isn't like a 9 to me. It was a very... But I've always been I think story is just as important as gameplay. So I feel if like one's off, then that's a big part of the package missing for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a interesting little bit there.
For me, it's definitely gameplay. Story definitely plays a huge role in it too, but it's like, for me, it's like story is like, or gameplay is like 60%, story is the other 40. You know what I mean? That I want in a game.
I want to change that about myself to some degree, where I can get into games that don't have a crazy good story, and I can a lot of the times, like arcade games where I know, like, there's no way there's gonna be a story here.
But I guess
it's for me when games have a story, they're like, yeah, we're trying to tell this story here. They like, you hear the developer comments on it. It's like, okay, I'm going to take this story seriously then. I'm going to try to engage myself. And when it's not that good, I feel a little not let down, but I just that throws me off a little bit with certain games.
Well, it's like, I just, as you know, man, I started playing The Witcher recently, and I'm about 15 hours in. And, you know, I'm a level 9 for people to gauge that, roughly. Excuse me. But the story's definitely kept me interested enough to where, you know, I want to keep going. But I also have a lot of fun with the gameplay, you know, playing Gwent against other people and going after the side quests and stuff. Yeah, and it's really driven me to have fun with the game. And usually I'm not too into sword slashers.
Yes.
You know, in the style of Final Fantasy and the style of Witcher, I'm not usually super into them.
Skyrim, because I remember you were pretty before Skyrim, you were pretty adamant, like, I don't like that fantasy medieval.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like guns. Right. Yeah. I like guns. I wasn't a huge fan of
sword. I mean, I get that. There's a certain appeal to that medieval stuff, and I think it's one of those you gotta try to really find out.
And that's the thing I find myself doing with Witcher. I do enjoy it. I find myself thinking about it when I'm not playing, and you know, I'll go on and I'll play it. I'm trying not to let it lose its appeal to me, you know, and I'm keeping myself doing stuff in the game because I don't want to be like, oh, that was fun, and only put like 15 hours or 16 hours in. You know, I am, you know, trying to. And at the same token, there's a part of me that wants to play too. So it's like, you know, I think that's a good mixture. I'm not forcing myself to play. Yeah. You know, like there were, I know XCOM. I loved XCOM, but XCOM was one of those games that I felt so forced to play rather than like actually enjoying it. You know, it was an awesome game, but at the same token, I was like scared to play it because of the permadeath and all that stuff. Yeah. Like, it was just like, God damn it.
Intimidating. You had to be in the right mindset to really tackle it. Yeah, I love XCOM though. XCOM 2 this year was one of my fucking favorite games.
And it looks like an awesome game. I would love to. Yeah, I think
that's a damn masterpiece when it comes to strategy gameplay.
And you and I loved the first one.
Yeah, exactly. I thank you for that because I would have never liked strategy games if Noah didn't tell me to get Enemy Unknown.
Yeah. Well, and then you had Civ too, and you played Civ with Eddie and I, and that's a fun one. Civ takes for fucking ever though. Let me tell you. Multiplayer
game.
That's
one of those games I want to play Civ 6 so bad, but
I don't have the time.
That's a time sink I'm not looking to do right now. That's like a summer game, I call it, where you're backlogging and you're trying to catch up on a lot of shit.
Yeah, if you have a couple days off. There is another thing I wanted to talk about too, because we were on the subject of gameplay and stuff like that. So Game of the Year came out from the Game Awards, and Game of the Year was Overwatch. And I wanted to know your opinion on that, whether or not... Now, mind you, last year it was Witcher 3. So... Yeah. Is that a formidable award for Overwatch to get?
It's hard. I mean, okay, here's the thing is that, I mean, it was up against, like, Uncharted 4.
Yep.
And a lot of people thought, like, that's what deserved it because that was the sum of great story, great gameplay, great music, great acting. It was everything you needed to make a great $60 video game.
Right.
On the other hand, though, I think it's important that Overwatch won because that shows that people can recognize really good multiplayer design.
Because that's fair.
I think what a lot of people don't get about Overwatch, and I understand why, is if you're like you or I, we've been playing Call of Duty, for example, since we were like 13. We've gone through a million and one competitive first-person shooters all across the board. Yep. And Overwatch is the first that really struck that chord of balance and fun and also competitiveness. Where I think it's really important that it won an award to recognize that it's not just about, and I know this may sound like a contradiction because I just said how important story is, but it's not just about those games that tell a good story. Right. It's about the video games we play for fun. Overwatch boils down, I play it as a competitive shooter, really, but it boils down to a lot of fun.
Right. And it doesn't, and parts of Overwatch don't take itself so seriously. You know, it's not like you're playing Battlefield or like you're playing Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. You know, it truly is. I mean, it's like Team Fortress, but at the same token, it's fun to look at Overwatch. You know what I mean? It's fun to watch it. It's fun to play it, like you said. And you still have that really nice balance there.
Yeah. I mean, people will complain, like, oh, modes are repetitive, maps are repetitive. I don't take that away from the game at all because I can definitely understand how people feel that way. For me, it's that each hero is the game mode for me.
That's a good way of looking at it. That's a really good way of looking at it.
And that's why I think it won it and why a lot of people don't get it. Is because a lot of people, I've seen tons of, what are they called in Overwatch? Career profiles. And you look at these people, they'll play like 40 hours of the same hero. Like me, I have this, I'm not saying I'm the ideal Overwatch
player. You want to scatter.
I literally scatter all my heroes. Like I have like, right now it's like 5 hours in each. Like it's just that good balance because I'm like, oh, this map I want to play is this person. It'll fit well. And, you know, when you experiment with the heroes, you step out of that bubble, it's like a brand new game mode because you're playing the game entirely differently, and you right. It shows how each hero can work around the map in a different and effective way. So for me, I'm a huge Overwatch fan, so I was really happy to see it win. But if Uncharted 4, for example, were to beat it, I don't know what else is on the list, but if Uncharted, I think Doom is there too. If any of those games were really to win it, from what I can remember,
yeah,
I wouldn't have argued it either. You know, I would have been like, oh, darn, I wish Overwatch won. I made a joke on Twitter like, hey, guys, thanks for doubting how much I love Overwatch because now yeah. I won Game of the Year. And a couple of people were actually legitimately upset about it. I was like, look, I'm just kidding. Like, it's not a huge deal to me because at the end of the day, it's an opinion. We can like whatever games we want. Not a huge deal.
I think I found Overwatch winning a little bit interesting. Only because, like you had said, you wouldn't have found Uncharted surprising to win it because it did have the mix of, like, you know, gameplay and story and all that. And I feel like Overwatch, though, is really fun and really well done. Again, one of the best well-balanced shooters. You know, that game's going to be alive forever, and it's going to rival, like, Counter-Strike and stuff like that in terms of its lifespan. You know, I don't doubt that at all. But I think it's a little interesting because it is a multiplayer-only game, and you do lack that story. There's lore, I know that, and that's not story, though, yeah. And I thought it was interesting, and I was kind of surprised, because I think if it had won, like, best multiplayer game of the year, I would have been like, cool, awesome.
I think it did, that's the thing.
Well, that's fine, but game of the year, you know, that's where, I found it surprising, and it's hard for me to articulate why.
I think because for a lot of gamers, and maybe this is the thing you're having an issue with, is a lot of people feel that if it's just multiplayer only, it's missing something. It doesn't have that story. So it's not a complete game.
Now, it's funny because earlier I said, well, I like gameplay more than story. Mm. And that's true, but that doesn't mean...
it's a case-by-case thing.
To me, this is like the same thing as, like, again, I'm not comparing Overwatch to Team Fortress 2, but it's like saying Team Fortress 2 won Game of the Year, and it's like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, because it's like, yeah, I could see it winning Best Multiplayer, but again, Game of the Year, like... Now, then I thought to myself, what else came out this year that could have rivaled that? And you had said Uncharted 2, or Uncharted 4, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And there was Gears 4, and there was, what was the other one you said?
I have a list of games I actually beat right here, so let me just go through it. I'm not saying this is every game of the year, but I tried to play the big releases we got. I'm not saying these are all game of the year nominees, but these are just big games. XCOM 2, Far Cry Primal, The Division, Quantum Break, Ratchet and Clank, Doom, Deus Ex, the newest one.
See, that kind of, was that even in the running? What was the issue with Deus Ex?
I think the ending was really bad from what I've heard. Gears of War 4, Mafia 3, I'm not saying, like I said, yeah, really, no, not a game of the year. Battlefield 1, I think that was there.
I don't think Battlefield 1 should have won. Though I like the game, I love the game, I don't think it was up for...
Watch Dogs 2,
Dishonored 2. Game.
it's a surprisingly good game, but that's all I have written down right now.
Okay, so, I mean...
So, it wasn't like a... I think it was a good year for games in the terms of, like... I just always look at 2014. That was, like, the pinnacle horrible year for video games in my eyes. Like,
2014.
I'm sorry, but when you're saying... And this is just my opinion. I know a lot of us out there love Dragon Age Inquisition. I thought that was one of the worst... That is the worst BioWare game I've ever fucking played.
Yeah.
Even worse than Dragon
Age 2.
There was
a lot
of stuff,
too. I'm trying to think back.
Just that those MMO gameplay mechanics just disgusted me. That was so simplistic for a BioWare game. It wasn't even funny, and the story didn't grip me as much. You know, I guess I hold BioWare, as you all know, to a really high standard with Knights of the Old Republic and Dragon Age. So when they made that game, I was really disappointed in them.
Yeah.
And seeing it win Game of the Year just confused me. But, I mean, also, Shadow of Mordor, another great game, but that didn't scream Game of the Year to me. So, it was a very shit year. So, for me, I'm a little more optimistic at looking at 2014 in comparison to any year. But I also have to take 2016 as it is. And it's been a solid year. Like I said, there's been some standouts, but...
Yeah. And again, I'm not hating on Overwatch by any means. It's a fantastic game. I have it and play it myself. One of the things this is a personal issue I've had with Overwatch. It's really hard for me to have a continuous amount of fun when I'm playing alone.
Yeah, I was just about to say that too.
Yeah. That's another thing I kind of find funky with it winning Game of the Year, is that it's like you have to play with people.
Yeah.
I have yet to play the fucking game with people.
You know, I gave you props for putting as much time as you did into it with solo queues. I know a lot of very few people who do that. Yeah. And it's
And when you play by yourself, you can basically only play as either Tracer or Reinhardt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are that's all. Like, you can be a healer too, but
yeah, you know, you have to get really lucky. I feel, because I can't even. I love Overwatch. It's currently my game of the year.
Yeah.
And I cannot solo queue in that game. I could. I've done it before, but I just think to myself, I should go play something else because I want to wait till I have a team who I can communicate with, because that's when I really get into it. And
well, and that's the same thing like with Call of Duty. You know, like imagine when they had League play. Imagine solo queuing and League play back.
I don't play Battlefield 1 alone either because they're multiplayer games. They're multiple players.
Well, Battlefield 1, you can have some fun alone. Even if you have one other person in Battlefield 1, you can have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
I know Eddie and I have done that a couple times. But again, you're right. Multiplayer should be played, with other people. You know, with friends rather.
But I agree that it's odd. I didn't even think of it that way, that you're very right that it's a total difference night and day between, you got The Witcher 3, which wins Game of the Year last year, and then you got...
Which you will only play alone, you know?
Yeah, and then you got the other spectrum, which is Overwatch, which multiplayer, but the one, I think Inside was also listed there, which is an independent game, and I might be wrong by saying that, but I admire what Jeff Keighley did with the Game Award nominees, because he listed something that included everything, because a game's a game at the end of the day. You got your multiplayer games, you had your story games, you had independent games, and it gave everyone a fair shot to have their genre represented, but the top tier of that genre. And I think that was really important, too. And I guess the people voted Overwatch. I didn't vote or anything, but I would have voted Overwatch if I had paid attention.
Given the list of choices, I haven't played Uncharted 4, so I probably would have voted Overwatch 2, just because... Witcher 3 Blood and Wine did win best DLC of the year.
I think it won best RPG as well, which is crazy.
Best DLC and RPG, and it's a DLC.
That shows some fucking talent right there. Yeah, we made a DLC and we took home a reward. Like,
That's why I'm like playing this game right now, because it's just like, I need to see what the deal is, And so far, I'm having, a blast playing through it.
Yeah,
I got my first rare sword yesterday.
So good. No, it's a fantastic game. I recommend it to anyone who ever wants to try it. That The Witcher 3, you don't have to play the previous Witcher games to understand what's happening.
No, you don't.
It's a wonderful game. I put like almost 200 hours into it, I think, around its launch period, and I didn't see everything yet. I still had side quests. Yeah. I still had those question marks on the map.
This game's
intimidating, man. So if you guys are going to be picking this up, make sure you got time, especially because I think the Heart of Stones, I think it's called, that first DLC, those... I think I've heard 15-ish hours, and then Blood and Wine is like 30-plus hours.
Yeah, Blood and Wine adds a lot, apparently, to the game. I haven't played either of the DLCs because I'm still playing the game. But, it's...
See, the reason I haven't, like, really sprung after all the Witcher 3 DLCs, because I know there's going to... Right now, it's not that I'm not interested. I'd love to go back to The Witcher. I really do. But with all these games coming out and stuff, I know there's going to be that time where there's going to be a quiet period where I'm going to have a lot of time to sink into a different game, and I'm going to go straight back to The Witcher and play its DLC and really catch up on what was so big about Blood and Wine and all that stuff. Because, I mean...
Blood and Wine apparently looks at... it's either the first DLC or the second DLC. It looks at vampires a lot. That's not a spoiler. That's just what you see from the trailers.
I know the first one, I played a little bit of Heart of Stones, and I know there's a ghost, and you're helping him get his body back or get into a body, something like that. I forgot the exact story so far, but...
That's interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, The Witcher... The other reason I want to start The Witcher 3 again is because, I mean, they set the bar high for RPGs, and that's my favorite game genre, so I want to know what the top-tier stuff is when it comes to... Not only just the base game, which I know it's strong about it, but what the DLC did that made that like the best RPG of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, what else? What other RPGs came out? It really was a quiet year for RPGs.
Well, you had Final Fantasy, but that was a little late to the party.
Yeah. Final Fantasy 15 is not. It has a lot more choices in the game than I actually imagined, so it is really an RPG. I mean, there's a lot of leveling choices and gear and conversation options, which shocked me personally.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that in a game of its scope.
With a bunch of boy band, yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, I'm going to talk shit. I'm going to talk shit about Final Fantasy.
They acknowledge it. They talked about their hair at one point, and there's an accessory you can get because when it rains, their hairstyle changes.
Right.
And I love that. And you can get, it's called styling gel, and it's like, don't mess up your perfect hair. Now when it rains, your hair stays in place. I was like, that's
God
great.
God damn it.
I was like, that's great. They're just acknowledging it. I thought I laughed so hard at that. But do we have any more predictions about Bethesda's?
I personally don't. Do we have questions? Did we get questions?
We did not get questions. But I was going to say, do we have any favorite news bits?
Not really. We talked about them, which was the Game Awards stuff for me. So
for me, my favorite news bit was The Last of Us Part 2 being announced.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Huge.
I didn't see. I haven't seen anything of PSX, but honestly, it wouldn't affect me because I don't have a PlayStation.
Yeah. No, I can understand why. It was a really strong conference. You can see just how much they hold back at E3 for this conference.
Yeah.
But it was great. I mean, they showed a lot of games out. They showed Marvel versus Capcom Infinite. I don't know if you're into that series, but I liked Marvel versus Capcom 3.
Right.
And to see a sequel. I mean, part of it was crushing, and I put this on my Twitter, but I see Mega Man. Like, you see, like, his fucking feet, and I'm like, dude, new Mega Man game, like, yes. I was,
and then
I was,
it goes back up, and it's
and
like,
then, yeah, and you see Ryu from Street Fighter. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, I know what this is, but fuck, dude. It was hilarious though. During the PSX conference, there was some guy in the crowd during that reveal losing his fucking shit. Like, it would be me if Knights of the Old Republic 3 was announced. Like, he was standing up like, let's go, let's go. Like, he was fucking,
my God.
You could hear him over security everyone. Took him out. No, dude. Like, the guy on the stage, they pointed at him and was like clapping Jesus and stuff. Christ. Like, it was, this guy was losing his mind.
That's insane.
It was insane. It was like, think of your favorite game ever getting a sequel and amplify that excitement by 40. And that's what this guy was.
Yeah, Jesus.
He was fucking losing his mind. It was amazing.
That was me when the GTA 5 trailer came out first, like the very first one.
That was, yeah, I'll always look back at Fallout 4 for that type of excitement, because I will never forget just like rolling over bed. I'm like, today feels different. I just grab my phone and like everyone's like, Maddie, get up. And it's like, you know, please stand by. I was like,
oh, yeah. Let's do this.
Here we go.
So do we don't have questions. Should we grab some? Do you want to grab some, or are you short on time? Do you want to?
We got 10 minutes right now, so yeah, let's grab some questions.
All
right,
I'll let you tweet it.
I had a picture of Danganronpa up.
Oh, okay, Danganronpa, dude, Danganronpa. Yeah, I have yet to dive into Gwent in Witcher 3. My manager was talking to me about it today. Oh, also, while you're grabbing questions, game Steep. Today is 12/3. December 3rd. So it just came out. I don't know. There's no reviews out yet for it.
Yeah, because there was no review copies before.
They didn't want to do
launch.
Review copies, yeah. But it looks fun. I don't know. I think it looks fun. In a month when the game maybe has like two you know, out of 10 or something like that. Suck my ass. I don't care.
No. I'm laughing because we have a couple of followers I have a couple of followers, and they have this pro hockey player named Phil Kessel, and a lot of people just have fucking stupid pictures of him as their profile pictures.
God damn it.
And around the election period, he created his own t-shirt, and it was like, vote Phil. It was like, nice guy, works hard, loves the game. It was just so fucking cheesy. I'm waiting for some questions to come in, but no one likes us here. Oh, hold on, we got some.
What do you want? A Harry Potter MMO? Also thoughts on Fantastic Beasts? I haven't seen Fantastic Beasts. A Harry Potter MMO would be awesome. Done in the style of like, what? Like not MMO. Maybe that's wrong. But maybe RPG is a better way of saying it.
My brother loves Harry Potter.
Well, you like
part of me feels like I just don't like it because he loves it so much. I'm like, fuck
that's,
you.
That's probably very much the reason.
Yeah, I'm going to spite you. Fuck this. Because he doesn't like Star Wars, so I'm like, fuck you. That's bullshit.
That's annoying. That would piss me off.
But thoughts on Fantastic Beasts? I want to see that as well. I'm very curious about that.
Yeah, I have yet to see. I've heard it's good, though. I've heard it doesn't throw like Harry Potter stuff at you. You know, it's like its own movie, which is what I've heard. And that makes me happy.
CJ Bremer Music says, hate to bring up Zelda, but thoughts on the new Breath of the Wild trailer?
I haven't seen it, so.
I have, and as someone who we talked about this last week, Lone and I, I'm not a huge Zelda fan at all. I've only played three Zelda games. That's Ocarina of Time. I mean, I played a lot of Zelda games, but I have only beat three. It was Ocarina of Time, Link to the Past, and Twilight Princess. So very early Zelda games, I did not like Wind Waker at all. Majora's Mask, I just didn't enjoy the time crunch. Link Between Worlds just didn't strike a good chord with me. That's like the phrase of the podcast.
That really is. So we're gonna title it, you know, strike a chord. Yeah,
but I just didn't find much enjoyment in recent Zelda games personally. I know that I'm very much alone on that opinion. But based off what I've seen, I mean, the new Zelda game looks a lot like Skyrim in a way. It's that open world, just free exploration, going place to place, fighting enemies. I'm very curious about it. And seeing that it's going to be on Nintendo Switch, which I am hoping to pick up on launch, I am excited to play that not only on my TV, but on the go. So I'm a fan of the Breath of the Wild. I'm willing to give it a chance. Ooh, here's another great question. These are great questions. What? This comes from B-Boy.
I think I know which question it is.
Yes, you do. What year do you reckon Final Fantasy VII Remake will come out?
Hasn't it been in development for like 600 years, or is that...
No, okay, it's a whole story, because...
Oh, it's a whole story. Oh, okay.
Well, because what happens when the PS3 was first announced or was released...
So we're going all the way back to PS3. Let's just stop and think about that for a second. Okay,
I am not done. So they made a trailer to show a tech demo to show the power of the PS3.
Okay.
And they used Final Fantasy VII. Oh, so okay. People were like, oh, dude, it's going to be a remake, and they're like, we're not going to do... And Square, being very short-sighted as they tend to be, we're like, no, we're not going to do that. That was just a tech demo. Then they create a new engine called the Cloud Engine. Cloud Strife, Final Fantasy VII. Or no, wait, not Cloud Engine. Oh, my God.
Whatever the engine name is.
For those who are Final Fantasy VII fans out there, you'll correct me, but it's the big bad company that you fight against a lot of the game, and they named the engine after that. So once again, people are like, oh, another Final Fantasy VII reference. Okay, cool. And then after that, they said that Final Fantasy VII is coming to PS4, and they start showing this trailer at E3, I think it was 2 years ago or something like
that. Oh my fucking God.
And everyone's like hyped up because it's showing the PS1 version of Final Fantasy VII, and people are thinking the trailer is going to transform into this new version of Final Fantasy VII where everything's updated, but it was just a port. And people were like, are you fucking kidding me? And then next year, they finally came out and were like, okay, we're doing an actual remake. So really, development probably started sometime around early 2015.
Oh, that's when we think it started.
Yeah, but
the game won't be out for another 3 years.
Yeah, Square's been fucking yanking the chain of every game out there for a while.
That pisses me off. This is one of the reasons I'm not a Final Fantasy fan, because it's shit like this that I've heard about since 2006, whenever the PS3 came out. You know, in a 10 fucking years of wondering when this shit's going to come out. Like, I'm sorry.
Well,
I just
they've showed they could do it. I mean, Final Fantasy 15 just came out. Obviously, they could fucking
do it.
That was 10 years ago.
Well, they're like make them wonder. You know, it's fucking Half-Life 3. You know, it's the same kind of shit.
Yeah, and what's weird is that Square Enix is like a fully financially, from what I can tell, stable company where they can invest
they release
in games.
Other games. Like,
yeah, they can invest in games and stuff. So I don't know what's the struggle with getting your best series out the door.
I don't know.
But as for to answer the question, when do I think it'll come out? I think it'll be another year from now. I think we're going to see gameplay in 2017, but I think it'll be a 2018 game. I know it's going to be a multi-part game because they want to... No, okay, here's the thing, is that it definitely is to sell more copies, but...
Fantasy like 7 or whichever version it is, -1, and then a Final Fantasy 7, -2?
I think it's going to be like that, but it makes sense. You haven't played Final Fantasy VII.
I haven't, but
the game is huge.
This is the reason.
But I'm saying the game is fucking giant. Right.
I've already offended enough people.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I think it's stupid. I made a video about episodic gaming a while ago saying I hate that they're doing
with
this.
With the exception of Telltale games, episodic games are annoying as shit.
But, you know, with a Final Fantasy game, especially Final Fantasy VII, one of its strongest parts is its story. And to break that up, I think, is so dumb. But it also makes sense because that game is so big, and to stay true to everything that game offers, you do have to break it up. Right. You do.
Is there really a 3-day boss battle?
In 15?
Yes.
I don't know yet. I feel like that's a myth. How's that possible?
I've heard it was. I don't know. I've heard from multiple people say that the 3-day boss battle is an actual thing, which is fucking ridiculous to me. I don't care how we wanted the player to be immersed in our game.
Well, so I don't think that's to do with
boss battle. They had something in fucking that way back when in Metal Gear Solid. It was like a day long boss battle, or there was like a way to beat it if you left your PlayStation on for a day or something like that. The sniper would get tired, or I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something like that. Yeah, it was with the PS1. And it was just like, why we keep doing this kind of shit?
Yeah, I don't.
Why are they always from Japanese games? I'm not a racist against Japanese games, because one of my favorite games is Metal Gear Solid 5. You know, but what the fuck?
Yeah,
can't we just make the games? We don't need to bring them into like days long
boss fights.
Yeah,
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. I've heard things about it, but I just feel like it's.
And maybe there's a way around it. It's
gotta
probably
be,
like
3 days. I'm thinking to myself, okay.
You at least acknowledge that that's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, no. Like, when I heard that, I was like, that's not even cool. That's stupid.
Exactly. Like, I imagine there's
like
a way.
Like, an hour is pushing it to me.
Yes.
An hour.
Yes.
3 days? Fuck off. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. I don't know. But I think we're good. Is there any more questions you want to do? Or?
Right, we got some time. We got some other questions, too. Would you consider hold on, wait, this is a continued question. Hold on. Let me see if you...
People.
Okay. BleachFan2299 says, will you consider Destiny 2 after seeing that the director seems to be continually improving upon his product? Okay, that was it. Now, he put part one. I thought there was going to be a part two, but part two was a separate question. But yeah, he was asking, would we give Destiny 2 a chance after seeing the director continually improve upon his product?
Well, I haven't played the first one, but I had heard that the story was a little lackluster, you know, something like that. It was Destiny,
awful.
I guess. Was,
fucking terrible.
I want them to expand on the universe, or like you know, a little bit more. I give the game credit, though. Apparently, it's kept certain diehard players in for this long. I mean, that's worth something.
As far as I'm concerned, Destiny needs to do two things to get my attention. Again, number one is story, because... I've heard that in the one of the recent expansions that they actually did a story-focused expansion. It was very good. So that's great. That's good. They're learning.
It's Bungie. We know
they
can
do it. Yeah, I was
going
to say, Bungie can tell a good story. They just need to put that focus there and actually tell one, not say, here's an app. You can get some more info there. Now, fuck you. And like I said, the only special exception I make is Overwatch. I will go out of my way to learn more, but I'm more invested in that series.
Well, there's different reasons,
And that might sound like a cop-out. It kind of is, but that's just how I stand, you know, because Destiny also doesn't loop me in with its gameplay. It's not like, okay, whatever, fuck the story. It's got great gameplay. You're shooting things in that basic RNG loot system, you know? I can't stand that in games nowadays. Take a page out of Borderlands' book. They did random loot beautifully. You can't do it better than Borderlands when it comes
to
really
that. You really
can't. That random loot where you got your set unique weapons that are different from anything else. Those are fun to collect. But those random weapons you get on the ground, that constant progression is great. Where in Destiny, I will fucking dominate in a raid or something like that, and I'll get the shittiest weapon. And
that's
annoying. And they've tried to fix it time and time again. It's like, just get rid of the system. No random loot.
Or
set rewards.
Reapply it, you know?
Yeah, set rewards, weapon upgrades, and make those weapon upgrades a bit of a grind so that at least players can have the same weapons, but I can reskin it, I can make it better if I put the time into it. That way, there's a difference in weapons me and the other players are using, so it makes my character feel unique. It's not that hard to work around it in the terms of ideas.
Conceptually,
I don't get why they're being a stick in the mud with that.
Yeah.
They're doing a holiday update, though. That was at PSX. It's called The Dawning. It looked pretty interesting.
That's interesting.
Here's a good question to top it off on, though. We're going to do a Game of the Year podcast, like we always do. And right now, what's your name? Well, he's got M. Todd the Preacher, but his real Twitter handle is Sarcas Gamer. He says, what are your top games this year?
Oh boy, that's a broad question. Well, so far I'm having fun with The Witcher 3, so that's definitely one of them. I haven't purchased enough new games, honestly, right now to have a major list. Mm. I am a fan of Doom. Let me open up my Steam here just so I remember.
Let's say it's not current, though. Like, games that you've just been playing this year.
Games I've just been playing? I've been playing, what's it called? Witcher 3. Well, Witcher 3 didn't even come out this year. But, shit. You go while I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. For me, obviously, number one's Overwatch. That's kind of out of the
Overwatch.
Question.
Battlefield 1 as well. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm just now popping.
No, you're fine. I'm going to try to think of current games this year. I haven't solidified, like, I usually do 1 through 5.
Yeah. And that's a tough thing to do this year. It's been a pretty good year for games.
So. Yeah, one is definitely Overwatch, though. I unless Final Fantasy 15 really starts
the nail.
Yeah, it starts hitting it home for me. I don't see Overwatch getting moved out of that position. I haven't played The Last Guardian yet, though, so that's a game that could have a chance of cracking my list because I've heard that. Well, not heard, but I know the game has a lot of high expectations, and it's by a company who's repeatedly made really good games like Ico or Ico, I don't know how to pronounce it, and Shadow of the Colossus, which is a great game I've played. Yeah. Dishonored 2 is definitely going to be in that list, I think. Even after digesting the game, I really have a deep love for the gameplay. Even though the story, I thought, was also much more compelling than the first one, I thought the ending could have been a little bit better, but you know, I have to say that Dishonored 2 will definitely be in that list in the top 5.
Yeah.
You know, I have really this year more of a list of games that I feel people have been overlooking. That's kind of the list I've been really easily drawing up more than game of the year. Where for me, it's really hard for me to sit down and go, wow, that really stood out to me, and that is definitely going to be something I'm going to
remember. I think you especially, though, have played so much this year.
Yeah.
That it's like, you really got to sit down and look at that.
XCOM 2 has a good chance of cracking the list. That's oh my god, I love XCOM 2.
I remember, so you named your characters after all your friends.
Yep. I remember they gave me a review code, like, I think it was a day or two before the game came out, and I spent that first night I had it for, like, 4 or 5 hours naming all my friends after all these squad mates and writing bios. That's all I did.
That's
so unique, I think.
Didn't you do one for Nissan, too?
Yeah, and I also, I did one for Sugar Bombed where I had people say, submit your character name and your bio, and I will copy and paste you right into the game.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. I had all these members from our community in there. So it was a really cool experience
cool.
in that way. So, you know, I like that personally crafted game, but also just the gameplay in general, man. It was so intense and so unforgiving that it really taught you.
Yeah.
Especially, it was a little buggy, though. But
now
it's been 10 months later. It's been patched, so it's totally fine, but... Yeah, I think XCOM 2 is going to be on that list. Doom has a good chance, too. I hate the fact that 2 Bethesda games are on the list, but say what you will, they publish really good games.
Yeah.
That's one thing they definitely do.
But I think...
A lot of games, though, not to cut you off, but a lot of games I really did enjoy this year were backlog games, like Divinity Original Sin was another game that I played again, and that's just one of the best RPGs I've played. Gears of War 4 has a good chance, too, but I have to really sit down after I beat all the games at the end of this year and really take a long, hard look, because I take it oddly seriously. I'm like, okay, this is fucking list. Like, I gotta nail this shit.
Yeah.
So that's me.
I gotta look back at it, too, so, yeah.
Mm. Well, yeah, we'll be doing a Game of the Year episode probably within 2 weeks, I'd say, 2 or 3 weeks. 2 weeks? Yeah, no, 2 weeks would be reasonable. I just want to make sure it's, like, around Christmas time.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to this week's episode. We apologize, it's a little bit shorter. I'm a little bit limited on time. We're having a bit of a Christmas party here at my house. And
loser.
Then I do have a hockey game later tonight, so...
Double loser.
Yeah, fuck me, right? I don't know what Noah's doing, so I'm not going to...
I'm going to play Witcher.
Yeah, so. I'm not going to draw him into why exactly we're ending this so early, but...
Yeah. All right, guys.
We wanted to thank you guys for listening once more. As always, be sure to interact with us with the hashtag HamRadioTime. Let us know that you listen. We'd love to thank you and talk to you guys a little bit. So be sure to tweet any of the handles you see on screen with that hashtag. Anyway, Thank you guys for tuning in. Noah, any final words?
Bye.
Bye, guys.